Hey there, how are you? I hope you are doing fan-freaking-tastic today. Today, we are going to be talking about blame shifting, so it's going to get interesting, and stay with me. You are listening to the Career Talk, Learn, Grow, Thrive podcast, where we talk about all things career-related, I tell you how it is, and we get right to the point. I am your host, Stephanie Dennis. My background is in HR, what I have my master's degree in. Before we dive in, if you haven't had a chance to check out the podcast-inspired merch and other fun designs, definitely do so. Head over to careertalkswag.com, a fun way to support the show. And this is a great time to mention this podcast does contain adult language. All right, blame shifting. It happens. It definitely happens. But at the end of the day, like blaming anyone else for our own shit is shitty. It sucks, right? It is not cool. So while it does happen, I will say like, don't. I think if you're here listening to the show, you're better than that. However, it may happen to you, which is what this episode is going to be focused on, is if this is happening to you, how do you counter that? And if you think about it, a lot of the work that we do is team-based, right? It's very rare that someone can work in a company and their work is impacted by literally no one else. It's usually just not how organizations are set up and structured unless you're like a one-person business owner. And so we really need to take ownership of our shit, but also hold each other accountable and make sure that the stuff we do end up owning, so to speak, is really stuff we should be owning. So this question or topic came about, someone reached out to me. They have this day and night shift situation, and one of the shifts is blaming the other for really kind of any problems that pop up. And I think if I recall, because it's been a minute, the day shift manager was blaming the night shift supervisor. So the supervisor actually reported into the manager. So it was a direct report situation. So that was a fun kicker. And the manager was showing kind of favoritism to the first shift. So it's kind of the backstory of this. I will say, if you guys have questions, if there's something you want me to cover on the podcast, definitely reach out. Let me know. If you do reach out and you have a question, I also will say a lot of the podcast topics that I do come from people asking me questions. However, I won't ever disclose anyone's name, where they work. It will be just if I mention it at all, which a lot of times I don't, it will just be a very broad overview like the one I just gave you. So if you reach out, I just want you to know none of that information is translated here on the podcast. So just FYI. All right, let's get into the tips here. Number one, over communicate. Email, text, post-it notes, whatever works for you and whatever you have to do, right? What are you over communicating about? Updates. You are providing progress, talking about productivity. You are communicating about your problems. So progress, productivity, problems, three P's. And then really anything else that needs to be updated on or resolved or that is even pending, let's say four P's, progress, productivity, problems, pending. And then really anything else, updates on issues that are resolved, updates on issues that's not resolved. Email is ideal if you work in an environment where email is the main mode of communication. I know sometimes if people are working in maybe a manufacturing plant or something like that, not everyone's going to be on email every day. So maybe just writing out, you can type it out, right? Type up a report, give it to your manager, save a copy for you. Or if it's really just like a post-it note, that's fine. If my manager was trying to throw me under the bus for shit he did or she did or they did, I would be taking a picture of that post-it note, whatever, and keep it as kind of a CYA situation for myself. So if there is ever a time in which that manager tries to take corrective action, right? I can be like, wait, look at it. I gave him all these updates. I gave him all the post-it notes. I told them to let me know if there's anything I needed to do differently or anything I needed to do better. And they never said anything, right? So I don't always like to make CYA our priority because I think that more often than not, that's not what needs to happen. However, we need to also like recognize and accept that there's a lot of really shitty managers out there who will throw you under the bus. And, you know, if you have a job that's happening, you probably need that job to meet some financial obligations that you have, right? So there's a reality of the situation. While most people probably are trying to do better than that, we'll balance that, right? Number two, kind of very similar, document, track, keep record. Maybe there's a recap. If you guys have a meeting about something, maybe you can send an email and say, hey, here's a recap of our conversation. Let me know if I'm forgetting anything. This one, so I tend to work 100 miles an hour. I go through things super fast. fast if I know what I'm doing. I will say that. If I don't know what I'm doing, I tend to take my time, and until I fully grasp something, it kind of takes forever. But like editing podcasts, first time I did that, oh my gosh, I wish I would have recorded on video. It would be funny to look at now. But I also, because I'm moving 100 miles an hour and my brain is doing so many things and taking in so many pieces of information and like oftentimes learning so much data, and you know, while you're also moving 100 miles an hour, you're listening to podcasts and, you know, listening to music or whatever, my memory is not very good. So recaps are helpful to me as well. So if I forget something and be like, wait, what did we, I know we talked about four things. I know the three of the four, right? It's good for you to remember, but it's also the point of kind of the documentation is to say, hey, this is what we talked about, and put that in writing. And if I missed anything, let me know. So that is telling that person, hey, I am going to take control of what I can control. And I want to make sure we're 100% aligned. Because oftentimes if there is a conflict at work, it's usually when people aren't on the same page and they're not, for whatever reason, aligning on some important things. And the reasons are, you know, to be determined, but helping with that is a quick recap, because then maybe that person who is like, okay, yeah, we did talk about those four things. However, you know, now that I walked away from this meeting, I've had some more time to process. Actually, this fifth thing we haven't talked about yet, that's actually, you know, one of the driving factors of all four of these things. So it gives them an opportunity to kind of think and process as well. So recap again, notes. I'm a big note person. So oftentimes I'll take notes at important meetings. I'll literally like show up with my notebook and pen. I'm like, maybe it's an old school way of doing things these days, but a lot of people just type out their notes, but I'll just literally take notes. And then if there's like any sort of like mean or derogatory or rude comments made, again, I would just make a note of that as well. I wouldn't send it to that person, but I would make a note for yourself of that. I'm fairly certain, I forgot to say, part of this issue that was brought to me is the manager was saying really mean, nasty things to the supervisor. So if that's a thing for you, if that's something you're experiencing, I would definitely make note of that just to have kind of that history, right? So if you do go to HR at some point to have this situation escalated, if you haven't already, right, you can say, okay, well, on October 21st, they said this, and I also told them, you know, that's not appropriate. Please don't talk to me like that. And then they said it again on November 2nd. You know, you'll have that documentation or the kind of that track record, so to speak. Number three, if you feel comfortable, speak with your manager directly. Again, oftentimes, especially if it's different shifts, tension tends to build, because it's like, if you'll have a situation where manager's like, okay, well, I told them to do this when they first started, and maybe you're like 6 months in. This is purely an example. This was not this situation. I don't understand why they're not doing this every day. I told them right when they started. And maybe you're that person, you're like, and you just forgot, right? And so they're thinking, why isn't this person doing this? And you're going about your day thinking you're doing things great, and because you forgot that thing that to them is really important. I am a huge believer in having a live conversation. So not text, not email, not IM, picking up the phone or walking over to someone's desk and just having a conversation. There are so many fights, personally and professionally, fights, tension, just like, I know if you're an email person at work, and I realize not everyone is, but if you are, you're having those emails and there's just attitude, right? There's just a certain level of attitude behind those emails, right? So like just picking up the phone and just talking it out is so much easier. And especially professionally, that person's going to gain so much more respect for you if you just sit down and talk it out. Now, I understand if it's alternating shifts, you may not always see that person. However, if they're there till 5 and you typically don't start until like 6 or something, offer to come in early. Maybe you can come in at 4:30 and then leave a little bit early for the day. Or maybe this is so important to you, like, I'll just work the overtime. You know, I don't need to go home early. Or maybe they can also, because they're obviously a manager, right? They can compromise too. Like, okay, I'm going to stay till 5:30. Usually I go home at 5. You come in at 6. If you can also come in maybe at 5:15, you know what I mean? So there's that little bit of overlap to have that discussion. I think that's really important. I think in the world we live in now, email and IM take over because it's quick, it's easy. You're on conference calls and it's easy to just respond to your emails even if you're not supposed to be. Let's be honest, we all do it. And that's where a lot of tension happens if you're experiencing it. So anyway, I'll get off my lecture box, soapbox, whatever. Number four, if it continues, you may have to loop in HR. And I say this to prep yourself for it. The conversation with HR, it shouldn't scare you. It shouldn't make you nervous. It shouldn't intimidate you. Your HR folks within your company should be very open and welcoming. They should be people who are easy to talk to. If they're not, that's a problem. Not to be discussed in this episode, but that's a problem. I'll just broadly state that and just say, hey, here's what's going on. I've tried to talk to my manager. I've given them, you know, these recaps, these notes, these updates, and we still have issues. They're still saying this. They're still doing this. What do you suggest? What can I do differently? Basically, you're asking their advice. You're not going to them tattling, right? Well, so-and-so said that, you know, they didn't like my t-shirt. No. We have work issues and I would like your, you know, advice on how I could do things differently to make it better. That approach will take you to amazing places. I think oftentimes people go to HR frustrated and angry, rightfully so. And I think that HR looks at that in a different way than if you would come to, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what I've done to kind of help. Even if you say, I'm running out of ideas here, how can you help me? Even if that may not even be true, right? But approaching it as, can you offer me advice versus, well, screw this person because they're an asshole, right? Two very different conversations. Number five, another escalation point could be looping in your manager's boss, right? So if you report to the manager, who does that manager report to? Looping that person in. And that may even be not necessarily something that happens before and or after you talk to HR. It could just be another option to escalate the situation. And maybe you are sending your updates on things that are happening and this person continues to treat you badly and blame you for things. And you heard rumblings of now your boss's boss, right, is wondering what the hell's going on. And so that would definitely be a situation where if I've made a consistent effort to be very clear and very transparent with my manager and they're still throwing me under the bus, I would, depending on the title, I would consider adding their boss onto the emails and just making sure they're looped in as well. And I say consider the title because if your boss just happens to report to the CEO, depending on the size of the company, it may not feel appropriate, right? So I'm not saying you 100% should do this. It's something I would consider. Number six, take ownership and responsibility where needed. There are three sides to every story, right? Person A's side, person B's side, and the truth lies somewhere in the middle. So, and I don't say that to say anything about who said what about any particular situation. It is more so just to, as a purely self-reflection data point, right? If we pause and every time there's conflict, even personally, like with my siblings, even, if there's conflict, I always pause and be like, what did I do? Really good example. Me and my brother were fighting last month because I was asking him questions about something and he got a really big attitude with me. And so me and my, you know, sometimes I will match your attitude self. I also responded with attitude. And he was upset because I was asking him questions while he was trying to sleep. I didn't know he was trying to sleep. And then I got mad. He thought I got mad because of the questions I was asking, like that particular topic. And I was like, no, I literally could care less about what I was asking you about. Like, truly, I didn't care at all. I said, I got mad because of the way you talked to me. And so once I realized that was like really where I got upset, right? It's like I took a moment and I had to take ownership, right? It's like he was rude to me, so I was rude back, which two wrongs don't make a right. We've heard that since we were little, right? I know that. Obviously, siblings are very different relationships than you have at work. But I called him and I said, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I got an attitude when you got an attitude with me. I said, I didn't care at all what we were talking about. I said, but I got upset when you talked to me like that. And he did the same thing. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I was a jerk. My bad. So we just talked it out and it is what it is, right? However, when we don't do that, and this is just a little petty example of, you know, a sister brother tiff, but if we wouldn't have had that quick 4-minute conversation on the phone, I feel like that's the stuff that builds. And so take that into your work too. So if your boss is having an attitude with you and you then, you know, match that and you also kind of get an attitude with them back, that's the kind of tension that builds over time and just unnecessarily. It will cause you more stress and it's not necessary. So I'm a firm believer if there's a quick conversation to be had to squash something little before it gets big, do it. And if something has gotten big, then it's probably not going to be a quick conversation, but still just talk it out. And circling back to the point, I feel like I got on a really long tangent there. My bad. Taking ownership in where your fault is. Because I feel like if you come to someone and be like, you're an asshole to me, it's a very different approach than if you say, hey, I apologize. I got an attitude with you. You know, I will say I did get an attitude because you had an attitude with me, but I want to apologize for my part in that. And I want to clear up what we are talking about. That kind of disarms someone's automatic reaction to get defensive. We all have it. We all have this automatic thing inside us where if someone comes at us, defense mechanisms kick in automatically, subconsciously. Consciously, we don't even really know it. However, if someone says, I want to apologize because I was rude to you, the defense mechanisms aren't even starting to come up. They don't even know to come up, right? Because it's an apology. So you're going to have a very different outcome depending on your approach and depending on your ability to own your part in whatever's going on. Number 7, propose and implement changes that are going to fix large or small, I guess it doesn't really matter, problems or even reoccurring issues. So if there are things that are reoccurring, let's say you have a job where you have to input certain information into a spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet is sent to your manager every single week, and it basically provides an update on everything that is in that spreadsheet, and you're updating it every day or every week, and the manager is like, okay, but I'm still not getting this piece of data. Like, why aren't you filling this out? And you're like, okay, no, I am filling that out. So, right. So that would be more of like, where's the issue? And having that quick conversation to figure it out, but then also solving it. So maybe there's something wrong with the spreadsheet or the software that you guys are using, but figuring out what the problem is and figuring out solutions to fix them quickly, hopefully. Number 8, try very hard. So try not to assume the worst. I know it's easy. Scientifically, it's easy for our brains to assume the worst and kind of go to negative places before we think the best of everyone. And I think if we try and force our minds to assume people are coming from a good place and assume the best until we're proven otherwise or we have a conversation, it will help the conversation be more productive. Number 9, keep it factual. A lot of times when people have disagreements or tension or whatever it might be at work, a lot of times facts aren't being talked about, right? Facts, we know what facts are. And so a lot of times facts aren't what's being talked about. So facts are really important. I did this on this day. Here's how I did it. Here's what I did. Especially when it comes to setting expectations. You really want to make sure that exactly what happened factually is what's being talked about. Not what you think, not what maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, here's what happened. Here's what I did. Number 10, schedule regular check-ins with the person that you need to get on the same page with to make sure that you guys continue to be aligned. So it's really easy to have one conversation about alignment, priorities, goals, expectations, and then walk away. And then both parties or all of the parties involved get really busy and never circle back to check in and make sure everything is still good, especially if things were not good and then you got them to a good place. You want to continue to check in and make sure that you're still good because things change quickly, especially in business. And you don't want to be going about your job thinking it's all good while your manager is like, well, now WTF stuff, you know? Number 11, ask clarifying questions when you need to. There is nothing wrong with asking questions if you don't understand something, especially as it pertains to someone's expectations of the work you need to do. So ask your questions and get your answers so you can do the best work that is possible. All right. I hope you found this episode helpful, valuable. Thank you for being here, listening, supporting the show. I really appreciate it. If you have a topic or question you want me to cover, definitely reach out. Let me know. You can find the show notes below as well as over at StephDennis13 along with some more information there. If you want to learn how we can work together, resume reviews, career coaching, interview prep, etc., head over to listentocareertalk.com for more information. You can support the show one of 4 ways. You can check out merch, again, careertalkswag.com, Amazon wishlist, PayPal, and Anchor if you want to make donations as well. So all the links will be below. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment, leave a quick rating and or review. review really does help, and thank you. Huge shout out to everyone who has already done that. You can find me over on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, StephDennis13, and then Instagram over at Career Talk Podcast as well. We are written, produced, hosted, and edited by yours truly. You are so amazing, so awesome. I hope you have a wonderful, lovely rest of your day.